regularly benefit from the insights of Malcolm Speed, the godfather of sports administration in this country. For cricket, this has been an unsettled period. I was going to say for the 18 months of COVID, but it's a bit more than that, really, isn't it? It's from sandpaper onwards. And the chairman, Earl Eddings, rolled by the states and by his own board last week. So it felt like the exact right moment to understand a little bit more. Malcolm, welcome.
Yes, good morning, Jared. It's been a very interesting time for people running sporting bodies. So not only Earl and Cricket Australia, but lots of discussion about Collingwood and Carlton and Hawthorn and John Coates. And if we went into rugby league, plenty of them there. So, yes, it's a good time to talk about it. My take out of the Cricket Australia exercise is that I think along the line, directors and chairs of sporting bodies have been disrespected. So I think in the role you've appointed to me as godfather, it's appropriate that I defend the directors and the chairs. So let's do that.
Was Earl Eddings hard done by?
I think so, Jared. Some of it was a bit self-inflicted, I think, but I have some sympathy for Earl. It's an interesting role, the role of chair. I think it's the most important partnership, the partnership between a chair and a chief executive in a sporting organisation. And Andrew Demetrio said at one stage that you need the chair, the CEO, the coach and the captain all prepared to charge over the hill at the same time. And I think that's a pretty good description of what happens. Interestingly, though, and I don't know whether this has been picked up on your show, we've had the pandemic of COVID. We're also having an epidemic with chief executives of national sporting bodies. So in the last 3 years, apart from the AFL and tennis, the chief executives, there's been changeover in the chief executive roles of cricket, golf, netball, rugby league, rugby union, soccer, basketball, swimming, athletics, hockey, cycling, and the Australian Sports Commission. So,
wow.
So there've been lots of chief executives have relinquished their roles for one reason or another, and we've seen some of them have been sacking, some of them have been resignations, and perhaps the Olympics is a time for changeover in those roles. But I can't remember a time when there's been so much change in those roles.
So, what do you think the motivation? In the end, from the states was in the Cricket Australia setup to roll the chairman.
It's a bit more complicated, Jared. I think we need just to analyse the role of the chairman, and the primary role is to run the board. That's an intellectual role. It's behind the scenes. It doesn't make the papers. Most of that happens in meetings. The chair of an AFL football club, that's about a two-day-a-week job. For Cricket Australia, it's a three-day-a-week job because there's a big international component and lots of international meetings and lots of cricket to watch in Australia and overseas. And I think Earl did a good job with that. The next part of the role is to be one of the public spokespersons for the organisation, and Earl wasn't so good at that. And we've seen a lot of that recently with some very high-profile chairs of sporting bodies. So think Jeff Kennett and Eddie Maguire and Peter Volandis from
yep.
The NRL, and we might come back to him if we've got time. And then the third part of it is the hands-on role, whether the chair is in fact an executive chair or whether he or she is purely a governance chair. And we see people like Richard Goyder at the AFL is very much a governance chair behind the scenes with an immensely experienced chief executive. So we don't see much of Richard in the public space, but in the governance space, he's performing his role very well there. Now, if you look at it, at what Earl did there, in his 3 years from October 18 through to his recent demise, the first task was to replace a chairman who was sacked. So David Peaver already resigned, but there was a lot of pressure there. He'd lost the support of the states to resurrect the fortunes of Australian cricket after South Africa, which was difficult. So I appointed a very good coach, a very good captain. We had the women's final there of the 2020 World Cup, which was brilliant, and lots of progress with women's cricket. The World Cup and the Ashes followed closely after that in early in Earl's time. And then there was a trip to India there and India coming here. Now, all that was very difficult to manage to keep that going at that time when the Australian team was unpopular. And then you add on to that COVID. So COVID comes on the top of that and you've got all sorts of issues there. And the chief executive, Kevin Roberts, departs. And you have a new chairman and an interim CEO. So it's a bit of a battle from there. And then their broadcaster, the Seven Network, declared war on them. If you recall that period, Mr. Warburton, I forget his first name.
James
Warburton came out and said they were the a bumbling, stumbling administration, the worst administration he'd ever dealt with. Now, they then went into a battle with the Seven Network where the Seven Network sued them. They took them to arbitration. Upshot of that was the arbitrator said they were entitled to $5 million. They wanted $70 million. So I think it was more of an example of an inexperienced chief executive at the Seven Network who was doing the bumbling and the stumbling there. So Earl Eddings is the chair of the organisation at this stage, trying to keep it afloat at a difficult time when your major cheerleader, the TV network, is at war with you. So that was difficult. Where it was even more difficult is that initially he was appointed by Victorian Cricket. Victorian Cricket withdrew their endorsement for him. And he was appointed as an independent director, one of four independent directors on the Cricket Australia board. And shortly into his term there, or recently, more recently, a year or so ago, New South Wales and Queensland indicated that they didn't support him continuing for a second term. So that's difficult. You've got a tenuous grip on your own place on the board, and two of the major states say, no, we want change there. So I think up until that stage, I give Earl a very good mark. I thought he put his head down. It's a good board at Cricket Australia, and I've seen them criticise there. Ian Chappell's been very vocal there. Ian Chappell is often vocal about cricket administrators. He was vocal about me when I was a cricket administrator. But Ian Chappell would like a board of former Test cricketers, I think. So I give Earl a good mark there. I think perhaps he didn't read the tea leaves and perhaps didn't have the right advice there, because it was almost inevitable that he was going to come unstuck. And when you come unstuck in a public way like that, it's very difficult. It affects the legacy that he would otherwise have had as a chair of Cricket Australia in immensely difficult times. So I have a good deal of sympathy for him. Whether he was hardly done by, he needed to be re-elected to his position as an appointed director by the state associations. Western Australia turned turtle on him at the end. I thought that was a bit strange. They weren't happy with what had happened in relation to the test match in Perth, so they decided not to support the chairman. Now, the board is there to act in the best interests of cricket in Australia. It's not there to pick and choose which state associations, which members it will support. So I wasn't terribly impressed with the actions of Western Australian cricket there. But that's life. If you come into public life as a sports administrator, you're either going to resign at some stage or you're going to be sacked. And Earl resigned, but he was just ahead of the chop.
So what does Cricket Australia need from its next chair, Malcolm? There has been suggestions that the role be split along the lines of what you've spoken about, the international demands, the public-facing side of it, and you have identified for us the various characteristics of chairs across sport at the moment. What do you think CA needs?
It's difficult when you look at the existing board, and as I said, they're very well credentialed and they've been criticised in some of the media articles, and I think unfairly. They are high-performing people in business. Several of them, not all of them, have a cricket background. So it's difficult to see that any of those current board members could spare that 2 to 3 days a week that's needed to do the job full time. So maybe they need to go outside and find someone who can do that. And that's difficult. So you'll need someone with independent means. There's been criticism of the fact that the chair of Cricket Australia was paid $250,000. Well, $250,000 for 3 days' work, that's the equivalent of $400,000 for a full week for a year. Lots of executives at the AFL and Cricket Australia and other sporting organisations, let alone going into business and banks and places like that, they earn $400,000. So if you want someone who is competent, who is a leader, who's at the top of their game, and you're asking someone who's in the middle of their working life, so not an elderly retiree, someone who's in the middle of their working life to give up 3 days a week, there's got to be some payment there. So what do they need? They need someone who understands the game. They need someone with a thick skin. It's a tough job. Someone who can can run that board. And running a board is sometimes easy, but if you get difficult times, you get disruptors on the board, that becomes very difficult. You've got to keep everyone happy. Someone who understands media rights, those sorts of major issues, industrial relations, those sorts of major issues that pop up from time to time, where the chair will be working with the chief executive to deal with those major issues. So it's a demanding role. It's not an easy role. I'm not keen on splitting the role. I think that's a last resort if you split the role. I know from my times at the International Cricket Council that the expectation was that the boss turned up for the International Cricket Council meetings, and there was also an expectation that the same person would lead the board at Australian level. So I don't think that's the answer. I think Cricket Australia will go into search mode now and see if there's someone who can fit the criteria for the role. Mike Baird strikes me as he would be an excellent leader. He's on the board at the moment, former Premier of New South Wales. He's the best credentialed of the current lot to do it, but he has a day job. He has a big day job that takes up all of his time. So, Jared, it's difficult and... I'll watch with interest how they go about it and how they deal with it.
Malcolm, let's talk again after Cup Week, and our special portfolio will be Peter Verlandings. Is he the most fascinating sports administrator we've ever had in this country? We'll use that as a trigger for the broader conversation on where things stand then. Always great to chat. Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. Good to talk to you.
Malcolm Speed, the godfather of sports administration in this country. We'll pick that conversation up with him in a couple of weeks' time. Here's Alex with the news.
Duncan Thompson Extensions. From concept to completion, Duncan Thompson.